Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder E1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
From your house to the White House, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Counting down all week to the 50th anniversary of Neil Armstrong and his steps on the moon. Coming up at 5:20, David DeFelice, head of outreach at NASA Glenn, will join me. He's worked with Armstrong for many years when it comes to different PR things and things that he did on behalf of NASA and other astronauts and all the astronauts from Ohio. We'll talk more with David about that coming up later this week. Gene Kranz and Buzz Aldrin, number two on the moon, at 5 on Friday morning at 5:24. So you're up early. We'll have it for you on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire, alongside. And President Trump is telling some to get out of here, and they happen to be in Congress right now.
Right now, we have a racist president who is demeaning female members of the House of Representatives based on the color of their skin and their cultural heritage.
Throughout the generations, there have been people who build their political careers on hate and division and fear and paranoia and making people the other. We are not going to do that.
The president of the United States telling Americans that they ought to leave this country because they've been in Congress criticizing him. Nothing could be more American than standing up for our values.
The president, instead of using the bully pulpit, using a bully tweet over the weekend, pointing out that some of these Congress people ought to go back to the country they're from and try and fix the problems there. You can see that at willsandsnyder.com, right?
Yes, you could go to Twitter. You could go to willsandsnyder.com, check out the president's tweet, people responding to it, the little soundbite that you played from there as they wanted to reply back. And, you know, he just said, hey, go back to your totally crime-infested places from which you came.
But they're from this country. They were elected from this country.
But the people that they represent, Bill, believe what they believe. And that's probably what he is probably expressing because they bash the country.
That's stirring it up. You can see that at willsandsnyder.com, Wills and Snyder Facebook page too. And the blackout in New York, this guy says there's more coming, right?
Yes. Douglas McKinnon from Fox said that, you know, this is a warning, a red flag, because a blackout is coming. When I read this article, because I got it up there and I got the video, first thing I thought of was Live Free and Die Hard with Bruce Willis. Because the bad guy in that went after the infrastructure. And remember when he was going for the blackout?
A lot of people worried about that. WilsonCenter.com, WilsonCenter Facebook page. 5:15 sports mornings, 15:45 pastures, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Indians needed a win yesterday to avoid getting swept by the division-leading Twins. Tribe looking good with a 3-0 lead entering the seventh with All-Star Game MVP Shane Bieber on the mound. But then a couple of bizarre hit batsmen. Just a weird inning. Minnesota would score three to tie the game. Heads were beginning to hang just a bit when Carlos Santana stood in on an 0-2 pitch.
Swung on, ripped to deep right field. It is gone. Oh, he went to the off-speed and hung it. And Carlos Santana has put the Indians back on top 4-3.
Home run number 21 for Carlos. Boy, he has just been terrific all season long. And then the Indians' bullpen was able to do the rest. All-star Brad Hand struck out the side of the ninth. Indians get the 4-3 win, as Terry Francona put it.
Got to have been really tough on him, too. That's why he's in there. It was nice for us to get punched in the stomach and come back right back. That was a good ending, too. That would have been a tough day.
Yeah, that would have been. The win really big. It's a two-game swing. Instead of starting the new week 8.5 back, the Indians are 6.5 behind the Twins, and the Tribe opens a four-game series against the lowly Detroit Tigers tonight at 7:10 with Adam Plutko on the mound. And you can hear it all right here on the home of the Tribe, News Radio WTAM 1100. And that, of course, also means 106.9 FM. So the Indians begin the new week 6.5 behind Minnesota. In the wild card, Tampa has a game and a half lead over Oakland. And then the second spot, the A's lead the Indians by one half game for that second wild card spot. Golf at Firestone, Retief Goosen shoots a 2-under 68. He wins the Senior Players Championship by two. This week, across the pond, it is the Open. It'll be played at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Rory McIlroy's course, he will be the favorite going in this week. And across the pond yesterday, an epic gentleman's final in Wimbledon as Novak Djokovic beat Roger Federer in a fifth set tiebreaker, a grueling, nearly five-hour match. It was terrific tennis, though, between two of the all-time greats. Coming up at 5:45, we will hear from Shane Bieber as the Indians salvage that win over the Twins to avoid getting swept. That story coming up in sports. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
Secured.
It's one small step for man.
The giant leap.
One giant leap for mankind.
Celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing.
The Eagle has landed.
On WTAM 1100.
Leading up to the historic walk on the moon by one Neil Armstrong, our friend David DeFelice, Outreach Committee Relations Lead at NASA, Glenn, with us as we're talking about space and Apollo and what's next all week this week. David, first of all, good morning. I do appreciate your time, sir.
Good morning, Bill. Always a pleasure.
You have been so kind over the years to connect me with information, to connect me with guests, astronauts at NASA, Glenn. I want to talk about astronauts, and my goodness, in Ohio, I mean, we learned as kids the birthplace of presidents. But when you look at the names, Glenn, Armstrong, Lovell, sadly Resnick as well, we're reminded of the danger of space flight, but we're reminded also of first, what a state we have produced when it comes to astronauts, right?
Yeah, it really is. So we have a total of 25 astronauts who were either born or consider a home, you know, a hometown in Ohio to be here. And they're what a great group of people, all just first class and pardon the pun, but down to earth. But you know, so high achievers, but persistent. There's some of these guys will tell you stories. You know, they had to apply five times to get into the astronaut corps. And you know, there's others that Neil Armstrong and John Glenn who. You know, are just, you know, were just top of their class and everything they did. But these other guys are as well. It's just that the field has grown so much. And they're just great people. They all have great stories to tell and have achieved great things in advance of knowledge and space exploration.
David, you are a humble gentleman. You have a lot of relationships through NASA, a lot of responsibility over the years with those astronauts. I have seen many pictures of you with many of the greats over the years when it comes to heroes of ours who have gone into space. We talk so much about 50 years ago on the walk on the moon. Neil Armstrong, can you just talk about him some?
Yeah, he's just a great story and just someone who grew up small town, Ohio. I actually got his pilot's license before he even got his driver's license. I've had the opportunity recently to sit down with his brother and his sister on the farmhouse, farm that, where he grew up and was born. And just great folks coming from a great family and just dreamed as a kid of just being involved. He's, you know, he would tell you, you know, he was first and foremost an aeronautical engineer and a, you know, test pilot. And the you know, the pinnacle of that was getting to do space exploration. But he took that mindset into everything he did, how he could do it better and be in advanced. And he was obviously just a great selection to lead the Apollo 11 mission and to with his humility to be the first human to set foot on another world.
With that point in mind, we know the book, the movie, Buzz Aldrin, so much talk back and forth between the relationship of the two. I was reminded in watching and seeing into the thing, and I got some of this from the NASA website as well about the some of the original the video and audio that came back from Apollo 11. When Armstrong walks out, you know, we know the famous quote, and it's kind of funny, he did a radio check just before that, and then there's that, you know, famous breakup, which I had to kind of laugh when I was reminded about the radio check. But right away, when he's on the surface of the moon, he begins reporting. He's talking about the soil. He right away, he kicks into that engineering mode. It was amazing.
Absolutely. He knew that his job was to do that, to give that first-hand account. And that's a good reminder. And a lot of people debate, is it humans or robots? And it's both. But that's why we need the humans there. It's those accounts, those subjective things that aren't just going to be measured, or, you know, those types of experiences and the human experience. So that's why as we move forward, continue to move forward, it's a combination of, robotic landers and rovers and humans working together. But his approach to it, the things that he shared, are what really bring the human experience to it, and it's amazing. And I want to mention that at the Great Lakes Science Center, of course, the home of our NASA Glenn Visitor Center, they are showing the Apollo 11 First Steps edition on their large giant dome theater. So it's that same original footage in a more brief package that takes you there. It's an amazing experience. I got to see that a couple weeks ago. And of course, our visitor center is a great place to go to see artifacts and learn more about the Apollo missions.
You know, talking about the human side, Aldrin, he steps down, he does his routine, but before he steps down, he says, okay, I'm going to partially shut the hatch and not lock it. And there's kind of a chuckle, but you're thinking, I mean, my heart's racing knowing what happened 50 years ago, and there's still some of that personality that came through.
Absolutely, and I think, just like a lot of us, you use the humor to kind of cut through the thickness of it, and it just says, yeah, we're humans, we're capable of making mistakes, don't do anything stupid, kind of a thing. And it just keeps things light because it gets too intense, and that's one of the things you see in that the Apollo 11, documentary as well, is, they actually report out heart rates, and amazing, boom, 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 but, they've got that pilot mentality and the focus, even in the midst of that, and they wouldn't be human, they would be robots. So the hearts weren't racing, and but they've been there, they've gone through the experiences, and they know how just one step at a time get through a mission. Don't get ahead of yourself. Be in the moment and learn and gather everything you can.
David DeFelice, Outreach Community Relations Lead at NASA Glenn, with us. Back on that point about heart rate and all, as I was going back watching the original mission and the video, and I'm thinking, okay, they launch. I mean, we'd gone around the moon a couple times on other missions, but then they got to get out and they land, and that, okay, we took the steps, that worked. Now, Armstrong had to land the thing manually, then, okay, let's make sure it fires to get us off the moon. Then we got to, I'm thinking every point in that mission, so many things could have gone wrong, and I bring that up because Armstrong made the point of thanking the thousands that worked on Apollo. We know the mission and Kennedy's speech and all. But those thousands included people really at the Glenn Research Facility at the time, right?
Absolutely, and actually some of those folks are still here. We've got a couple. We actually honored 11 employees who were here during the Apollo era, and two of them very specifically made direct contributions in terms of the liquid hydrogen as a propulsion fuel and some of the analyses and even some of the aerodynamics. A lot of people forget it's not just rockets, but these rockets have to fly through the atmosphere on the way up and on the way back. So the aeronautics that we did testing in our wind tunnels, all that came together, and it's amazing to think some of those folks are still here and still contributing as we make plans to go back to the moon and to land the first woman and the next man on the moon in 2024.
Let me get you out of here on that point. We'll spend some time with Brian Smith a bit later this week, who heads up our NASA Glenn facility. NASA recently announcing 12 new lunar science technology projects with different companies to help with this, and that really is the mission. And NASA Glenn, again, testing with propulsion and things, David?
Yeah, various things, testing communications packages. What we do is we're primarily working on setting up the infrastructure for a sustained presence there. So there's the power and propulsion element, which will be on this gateway platform that will give us orbit the moon kind of continually and give us not only a stopover point, but a stopover point that gives us access to basically the whole surface of the moon. But I was just talking to a friend yesterday. He's working on the communications infrastructure, these robotics. They have to relay signals, back up either to the gateway or directly back to Earth, and all those things have to come together in terms of power, propulsion, communications, and these are all areas of expertise that we have here and have had here at Glenn for years, and will continue to press on into the future.
And with that in mind, just as we now use, you and I use cell technology with our phones, I mean, some of those things that were explored and invented getting us to the moon, we'll find some of those same things to help us on this mission. Sure, I'm sure.
Absolutely. We're always training our engineers and scientists to look at, hey, you needed to do this. What else could you do with it? Is there a commercial technology that's available? Is there something else that this could be done with? Are there problems to solve? And we have a whole department geared towards working with business and industry to help them identify technologies that can solve problems and then eventually get commercialized and benefit our society.
NASA Glenn playing a big, big part. We never want to take it for granted, the work being done at NASA Glenn right here. David DeFelice, Outreach Community Relations Lead. David, I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
50 years ago, Apollo 11 was on the pad. 50 years ago, tomorrow morning, 9:32, it took off with Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins. The sun is all week at this time. We'll talk about the anniversary 50 years ago, Neil Armstrong stepping on the moon. Later this week, Buzz Aldrin. We'll also talk to James Hansen, the biographer of Neil Armstrong. And tomorrow morning, the head of NASA, Glenn, and the work they're doing now to get us back to the moon, that'll get us to Mars, Brian Smith. Crystal Blue Persuasion was number one on the charts when Apollo 11 took off, 1969. Traffic and weather coming up. This is a little sound of the band Disco Inferno. They were the entertainment on Saturday at the Bridgestone Senior Players. Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire, and I had a chance to bring him up on stage after the final putt dropped. You guys are good. I've never
They're
seen
great.
Them before.
They're
we had
great.
A blast.
The
yeah.
whole place in there.
I saw your picture. They looked
dancing.
Like fun.
Could, oh, you, yeah. could you tell I wasn't in the band?
Yes. Yeah, I could.
Okay. Shout out to Sonny. Although Sonny told me he didn't get up till 6.
Right.
Sonny listens to us in the shower.
Right. And then he says he tries to run out to answer the trivia question.
He never gets out of the shower. He's always wet. He gets out of the shower. He's trying to find a phone. So Disco Inferno, fun guys. We had a great time. We posted some pictures, Wilsensteiner Facebook and the on Twitter. As well of the
whole
guy.
Place was dancing.
It was hilarious. They did a great time. Job. Absolutely outstanding. A lot of fun with those guys. Disco Inferno. So a little shout. I meet more people. But see, I listen to you guys in the shower. There must be more shower radios, iPhones. If you're showering
you
right now,
yeah, right.
Enjoy. All right, a couple shout outs. Want to thank our friend Don Pageant, the tournament director. George Van Horn, who's the senior associate athletic director at the University of Akron. He was my guy. To help me on Saturday. Mark Gore, a friend who's the CEO at Firestone and the host, senior VP of golf operations at Club Court. Good seeing Mark. The place just looked fantastic.
Yeah.
They're talking to a lot of the pros, and they loved the really an honor of playing Firestone. It's a big deal for them and their tournament. John Anderson has headed up volunteers. He's 29th year as a volunteer as the tournament volunteer chair. Saw him on Saturday. And Scooter Reese was alongside with me. And then Scooter, after we were Disco Inferno, we had to get something to eat. So we stop at the Outback
Correct.
In Fairlawn, sit at the bar, sitting there just eating. And next to us is Eric Schwartz. Now, the name may not ring a bell, but if you follow golf, Corey Pavin probably rings a bell. And he's Corey Pavin's caddy.
Yes.
He's been for 20-some years.
We didn't know who he was
Fun
until
guy.
He introduced himself.
Yeah, he started talking. You could just tell he's single, he's by himself, he's traveling, whatever, and all of a sudden we kicked around in a conversation with the golf, and he mentioned he was a caddy. And he claimed to be Corey Pavin's caddy.
Okay.
Okay, well, you're at a bar on Saturday night. You know, everybody's telling stories.
Yeah.
So I asked him, did you hand him the 5-wood at Shinnecock? It was a 4. That's when I knew he was Corey Pavin's caddy.
Very good.
Because
yes.
there's a famous shot at Shinnecock.
Yes.
Where Corey Pavin's like 205 yards out or whatever. It's up the hill. It's a blind shot. And he right then I knew he was the caddy.
And he looked at you. His eyes bugged out, Bill, when you said that. He said, 4.
Yeah,
it was
4. He knew right then.
Well done.
Time. Big shout out to all the volunteers, and Retief Goosen wins the Bridgestone Senior Players. Had a lot of fun at that event over the weekend.
Secured. And now, 5 good minutes.
Let's go to Vegas, or at least plan a trip to the casino. Our money guy, Kevin Meyerhoff, NCA Financial Planner, is with us this morning and thinking about this when it comes to your entertainment and all kind of like a vacation. So you got to have a plan, I guess, as you go in. Kevin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill.
7 tips when going into a casino. And Kevin Meyerhoff at NCA Financial Planners has worked on this. Okay, number one, you're just about like anything else we talk about, you say create a budget?
Yeah, I mean, you don't go to a casino thinking I'm going to win as much money as I can. That's not how casinos work. So it's an entertainment venue. No different than if you went out to dinner and went to a movie and you said, you know, I could spend $100 tonight on that. When you go to a casino, create a budget. How much am I willing to spend when I'm going there?
All right. Here's another question to ask. How much are you willing to lose?
Yeah, that's part of the budget. You know, not only might you eat at the casino, or if you go out of town, you could go to a show. But how much are you willing to lose? Look around at those big, huge structures. They did not build them on winners.
Great point.
People lose money at casinos, and that's fine. And so find, you know, see how long your entertainment dollars could last, you know. great if you could win some money, but determine how much you're willing to lose during your entire trip, whether it's 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days.
All right. Speaking of that, then, there's so many places to enjoy gambling if you do, but there's other activities as well, right?
Yeah, other activities are really important. Anything that gets you out of the casino so you're not gambling literally saves you money. So it's cheaper to go to a show than spend that same 2 hours in a casino. You'll lose a lot more there than if you're at a show. Go to dinner, go on hikes, look for other venues outside of the casino.
Kevin Myroff with me going through seven tips when thinking about going to a casino. Okay, here's another tip. Break your budget into sessions. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, and so even if, whether it's a day or whether, you know, you're going for 3 days to a casino, if your budget's $300, then you could sit back and say, I'm willing to lose $100 a day, and I plan on gambling for 3 hours during the day. So I'm going to go a little bit in the mid-morning and afternoon, and at night I'm going to be there, and in the mornings I'm willing to lose $50, in the afternoon $50, and then I'm willing to lose another $200 at night, you know, and so make sure you break it down. And when you lose your money during that session, walk away. Always walk away once you lose the amount of money that you planned ahead of time.
I like your next tip. I think ego gets in the way sometimes of some. Bet at tables you can afford.
Yeah, here's sort of my rule of thumb. Is whatever the minimum amount at the table is, you should have 20 times that amount if you want to last there an hour or so and have some fun. So if you're at a $5 table, 20 times $5 would be $100. So $100 will keep you going there. If you're at a $100 table, well, then you need $2,000 in order to stick around. So don't, even a $25 table is really expensive. So be careful where you go. Make sure you got 20 times if you're betting tables. And when you're on slots, just think how much you're willing to lose during that period.
All right. Another tip. This is so easy. Just walk away when up.
Yeah. That's the only way you ever win at a casino. You set how much you're willing to lose. In your mind, also say, geez, if I double my money, then I've hit my goal and I'm just going to walk away. And what most people do, once they double their money, what do they want to do? They want to double it again or double it again. The odds don't work that way. The odds are against you in a casino mathematically every time. If you gamble forever, you will lose your money.
All right, we're on a four-day trip to Vegas. It's only day three. I didn't walk away. I'm out of money. I don't want to go see a show. But, hey, Kev, there's an ATM. I could probably advance my credit card to help me today. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, two things. One is the casinos are set up where you could use a credit card and take a cash advance. Cash advances are 22, 23, 24% interest. Plus, every purchase you make now starts getting that interest on it. Don't ever, ever borrow money on a credit card in order to cash advance. And then ATMs. Here's my rule about ATMs. If you ever find yourself at an ATM after midnight, it's a bad idea. Walk away.
No matter where you are in life or age, that's a great advice.
Exactly.
Kevin Myroff at NCA Financial Planners. Kev, thanks, pal.
You bet. Have a great week, everybody.
And I'm just a devil with no spare soul. Viva!
Here's some breakfast for your brain.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Money. Well, currency, let's call it. We've got Jordan Goodman at MoneyAnswers.com. Look, Cleveland, we had this big blockchain technology, block land meeting last fall, trying to learn more about all this crypto stuff. Let's get to Bitcoin, because it is a buzz at times, and it's a buzz again right now, right?
It is. It is. Remember back in 2017, it went up from like 5,000 to 20,000. And then it plunged in 2018 to like 3,000, and now it's back up to about 13,000. It's been by far the best performing asset so far in 2019.
What does it all mean, Jordan?
Well, I think it's becoming more of a kind of an alternative currency out there. And one of the big things that changed, Facebook came out with something called Libra, which is going to be a currency people will be able to buy and sell things on Facebook with this kind of cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. And there's 18 major financial companies behind it, Visa and MasterCard and all kinds of major companies. So I think to some extent that gave Bitcoin some legitimacy. So people are piling back into it. I guess they didn't learn their lesson last time. You can certainly do it with like Coinbase, one of these online places. There's a stock called GBTC, which is a direct play on Bitcoin as well. So you can do it by buying a stock or going into these online databases. So it seems that Bitcoin is really back a big way this year.
Interesting. Now, again, how can I connect and learn more on this?
Well, the stock, there's a direct way to play it, is GBTC.
Okay.
And there's a lot of people playing it that way because it's up 200%. It's up dramatically, way more than, even though the stock market's done well this year, it's up way more than anything in the stock market. And I think it's going to go higher.
Jordan Goodman, he is at moneyanswers.com. Great site with more info when it comes to your money in so many different ways. Always good about returning an email, too, if you got a specific question about something. Moneyanswers.com. Jordan Goodman. Thanks, Jordan. Before we get to traffic and weather, I want to thank everybody at the Bridgestone Senior Players and especially the volunteers who year after year have made this a passion. We're able to enjoy the event. John Anderson heads up the tournament volunteer. He's the chairman. 29th year as a volunteer himself. John, what a weekend it was, huh?
Oh, Bill, wow, what a weekend. Great to see you and the WTM team down there on Saturday. That was awesome.
We appreciate your hospitality and a wonderful round on Sunday. Really came down to the end almost, and Goosen wins it.
Yeah, great to have a World Golf Hall of Famer, a two-time major winner, Ray Deep Goosen. Puts up a 68, birdies the last two holes. That's called winning in style, isn't it?
John, you work with the volunteers so much, obviously 29 years yourself as a volunteer, and volunteers really drive this thing, don't they?
They truly do. I mean, a lot of the 34 different committees. This year we had volunteers from 27 states, three different nations, come from all over the place to help us come together, run a great event, raise a lot of money for charity. So mark your calendars for next year. It's July 6th to the 10th, beg your pardon, 6th to the 12th, 2020. So we'd love to have you next year.
I talked to a couple of volunteers. They plan their vacation around the event every year just to be a part of it. It's just fantastic. It really is.
It is really great. It's really gratifying to see everybody come together to do a great event for Northeast Ohio. And, you know, our partners at Bridgestone and all the fans that came out, PGA Tour champions do a great job putting on a great event. If you didn't get a chance, the fans didn't get a chance to get out there this year, they really need to think about it for next year because it's an important event.
It was a lot of fun. John Anderson, the tournament volunteer chair at the Bridgestone Senior Players, thanks for the hospitality. I appreciate it.
You bet, Bill. Take care.
Be good. Thanks for checking in. Big shout-out to our buddy Mark Gore, CEO of Firestone Country Club. You see him, tell him I said hi. He and his crew did a fabulous job in hosting everybody over the weekend. 722, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Every Monday, we talk a little golf. Our buddy Jimmy Hanlon, Fox Sports, Sports Time Ohio. And ran into a buddy of yours, although I didn't recognize him, playing in the band Disco Inferno, by the way.
Yeah, those guys, a couple of them work on my production team in the past and still do one of them for my shows, so... Yeah, they're a little different during the day than they are at nighttime.
they were having a blast. I got to introduce them on Saturday when the final putt dropped at the Bridgestone Senior Players and Disco Inferno. They were just fabulous. All right, a couple things on our list for you. First of all, a little different. Take me back. Thursday, Friday, what's the yardage, Jimmy? How was your experience caddying for Natalie Gulbis?
Yeah, I'll tell you, it made me have a new appreciation for professional golf, Bill. It was a great experience, but it was something that I didn't expect the details that those players go through to be as precise as they are is really different. And I had a great time, but I'm not going to lie to you. I was feeling it on Saturday for sure.
That bag's heavy, isn't it, when you're walking it, Jimmy? Huh?
Man, and they're flying too. It's not like it don't take much time. They hit it and go. And we were on the clock on Thursday, which didn't help much either. Made us go a little quicker. And it was a really cool experience. They do a nice job up there in Sylvania at that event, and they have good crowds. And the people love Natalie up there. She's been going there for 17 years, and she missed a couple years, and she came back. And well, I mean, the response that they got was just unbelievable at this event.
Jimmy, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Open, obviously, but I wanted to ask you this too. Over the weekend, the Celebrity Open, Tony Romo. I guess he's just a terrific golfer, and he won it again. The athletes that from another sport that you've played with over the years, who are the best that you think of the golfers that really, you know, are very good golfers?
Wow, that's, you know, it's funny. Pitchers and quarterbacks are mostly what I see that are good. You know, played with Verlander, he's really good. I've played Derek Anderson, our quarterback for the Browns, is a great player. Trent Dilfer, I play with also, that's a really good player. So, I mean, most of the time it's pitchers and quarterbacks that you see that are really good players. Locally, though, I'll tell you, Austin Carr is a great player. AC is probably a very solid 4 or 5 handicap, and you know, he's obviously was an incredible basketball player, and he's awesome on the television for us there on Fox Sports Ohio, but he can get that golf ball in the hole, too.
He can hit it deep, bro. Now the Open this week, as we look at it, now they're playing it in Northern Ireland. Does that make Rory McIlroy the favorite this week?
Well, yeah, that's what everybody says. He grew up at this golf course. I've played this golf course. I've been there before, and it's a beautiful. It's not one of their normal ones in their rotation, but it's a beautiful golf course. The views you're going to see this week at the opener are really stunning, and it's it'll be interesting to see because you know typically these people know the golf courses that they play on in this rotation. This is one they don't know, so it's definitely an advantage to Rory to know this golf course so well.
Tiger over there now. I guess he was getting up at 1 a.m. last week to kind of adjust his body. I saw him on Instagram doing that.
Well, he wasn't getting up at 1 a.m. to play in any golf tournament, so I guess he should do that. I mean, we haven't seen Tiger since the last major championship, so it really just is opens up a lot of questions. You know, how healthy is he because he has not played? And you just don't know. You know, Tiger doesn't give you any information. He does his thing. Again, I know Natalie goes through the same thing. She had 3 back surgeries. And I talked to her a little bit about it this week while we were, I was on the bag. And she seems to think that it really doesn't matter if Tiger doesn't play. He doesn't need to play in between events to be able to stay sharp. I tend to disagree a little bit. And I saw it a little bit in her game this week too. Yeah. You know, she struck the ball incredible, and that's what we typically see of Tiger. But the little things around the greens and the shots that you have when you play golf but you don't practice around the range are the ones that can make the difference. And I think that's where we could see Tiger struggle is just, you know, those little short shots around greens that he, you know, he just doesn't have right now.
Yeah, he's like Snyder, didn't worry much. We're going to play Westfield today in the Jimmy Malone outing, and Snyder yeah. hadn't hit a ball for, 6 weeks probably?
It's been a while.
Be fine. It's been a while. He's the A player in his group, I'll guarantee you. I will guarantee.
Hey, Mike, I'm going to tell you that God's honest truth, too. I have not played 18 holes in 6 weeks. My schedule's just been crazy, and I'll be teeing up with you to Jimmy Malone today. Too.
All right.
So I'll be there with you.
I'll check you out, Jimmy. Yeah, and if Bill says I'm the A player, if I'm the A player for my group, we're in for a log on. Dang. Let me tell you that.
I'll say hi to both of you. I'll yell 4 probably at some point. There's Wills over there. All right, Jimmy, thanks. We'll see you later, Westfield. Jimmy. See you, buddy.
All right, we'll see you later.
Bye-bye. Jimmy Hanlon, Swing Clinic, 18 holes. Yeah, I'll be at Westfield today. They were a big part of the Bridgestone senior players and going to host the Jimmy Malone outing today, so we'll look forward to it. Jimmy Hanlon on Go. Tribe Now, our Morning Indians update brought to you by Falls Motor City. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Tom Hamilton checks in. Morning, Hammy.
Good morning, guys.
Okay, they win one. Let me throw a couple things at you. Just starting pitching. You threw out some stats about the number of innings that the Twins got in versus our starters, and I you know, at the end of the game, it's who wins and loses. Don't get me wrong, but still, I mean, Bauer got in some trouble, then, boy, he really bared down. And Shane Bieber pitched a good one yesterday for 6.
Yeah, I would agree, Bill. And, I think, obviously, the Indians starting pitching is still the strength of this ball club, and I still think it's stronger than the Twins, and that's even including the fact that, you know, for the most of the year, you haven't had Carrasco and Kluber, and you're just now getting Clevinger back. So I think it's pretty amazing the Indians have stayed on their heels. But, in this game anymore, it just seems like bullpens are so dominant, and games are won and lost from the seventh inning on more so than seems like at any time in the game's history.
Brad Hand was terrific again, all-star like Tom, but boy, Adam Simber's really been great lately, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know, Tito's done a great job. The Indians bullpen doesn't have, you know, Shaw, Allen, and Miller when it was kind of almost like automatic. Didn't matter how you use those guys as far as which inning, but you knew the last 3 innings of the game were covered. Now, a lot of times it's taking 2, sometimes 3 pitchers to get through an inning based on the matchups. But I think Tito's the best at knowing where to put a pitcher in a good spot. In other words, if, you know, he's got a strong point, making sure that that strong point is accentuated and maybe putting pitchers in situations where they can succeed and not fail. And to your point, Adam Simber has just been a matchup nightmare for right-handed hitters. And he's done a better job against lefties this year, too. But I think you can see now why the Indians wanted him a year ago with San Diego. He gives you such a different look, and used the way he is by Tito, he can really be a big-time factor and has been this year.
Tom, I don't know if there are must games in July, but certainly the win yesterday puts a different vibe for all of us today, doesn't it?
I agree. You could sweep or be swept. And then this week, you know, each team could go in a pole. direction, and you wouldn't even remember what happened during the weekend. But I think from a perception standpoint, I just feel like how a club feels about itself. I know the Twins were upset that they didn't get out of town with a sweep. You know, all of that goes on this past weekend, and it's basically a one-game difference from when we started the All-Star break. So, yeah, I think there are some games that are bigger than others, and I thought that was the case yesterday. It wasn't a must-win, but it was certainly a bigger win than some normal games in July.
Adam Plutko on the mound tonight. Tigers in town for four. Let's beat them up. Come on now. 7:10 first pitch. Hammy and Rosie with the call on News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. We'll be listening. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, guys.
All right, be good, buddy. Fan fact answer, of course, Bob Feller joined the Indians and just 17 years of age, pitched in 8 All-Star games, started 2 of them. Bob Feller, your Tribe fan fact answer. The trade deadline in the past, Snyder, when you would tell me, hey, Bill, the deadline's coming up. Then I hear about trades all after the deadline. Different this year, right?
Yeah, there's no 31st. Waiver deals. They've eliminated that. So you want to make a move to your roster, you've got to do it by July 31st.
And could Trevor Bauer be someone we trade? Tomorrow morning, 6:50, Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Theater, Cleveland.com. Entertainment news, names, notes. What a weekend it was in many ways. Matt Wolf is in. Let's start with the box office, Spider-Man, huh?
Yeah, Spidey still swinging in the big bucks. Another $45 million this weekend rounds out its domestic total to nearly $275 million, $572 million worldwide. It's got good word of mouth film. I mean, when my mom and dad, my 85-year-old dad and my 75-year-old mother go to see it in Florida and call me up and they say, that Spider-Man was quite good. Tom Holland is great. You know you got something going here, okay?
You so better believe it.
I think all that changes, though, with the release of The Lion King this week, of course. But Spidey's still chugging along really good.
It'll be a big week, too, with The Lion King. Okay, a buddy of mine actually was out in L.A., and when was there, McCartney's up on stage, and Ringo comes out.
I'm telling you, what a sight this was. Saturday night, like, while we were scrambling in the dark here in New York City. At Dodger Stadium, Paul McCartney has a Beatles reunion by bringing his old bandmate, Ringo Starr, up for a few songs. You remember that little indie band, the Beatles?
Yes.
They had a couple of hits
couple
here
hits.
And there, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
The last time, Bill, that these two shared the stage together at Dodger Stadium, August 28th, 1966.
Wow.
So they did Sgt. Pepper, The Reprise, and Helter Skelter. But, that ain't it, all right? Just when he comes off, okay, he brings on Joe Walsh from the Eagles and James Gang to do the end, you know, which is, of course, the climax of Abbey Road. So not a bad way to wrap up the North American tour for Paul McCartney.
Big, big night. Now, you mentioned the blackout. This was a big story, and it even affected the Jennifer Lopez concert, huh?
Oh, man, you have no idea. A friend of mine was there, and she texted me. She's like, oh, my God, the lights just went out. And I'm like, I'm on Long Island, and I'm on dinner. I have no idea what's going on. But, Bill, you can imagine when Madison Square Garden goes completely black 3 songs into her concert.
Wow.
I mean, that's all kidding aside, that's scary stuff right
sure.
there, okay? So Jennifer, in true New York fashion, reschedules everything for tonight. But what's really interesting is, you know, when the power starts going out here in the city, all these Broadway shows were going dark. And you know what? In a true testament to the arts, a lot of these shows literally took their cast out onto the street and started performing numbers. Shows like Rock of Ages. Can you imagine that? All the hair metal songs coming out onto the street. Okay, Come From Away. Even Carnegie Hall, the choir at Carnegie Hall came out onto 55th Street and started singing. Look up some of the videos on Twitter and on Facebook.
Yeah, it was cool.
It's crazy. It was just really, really cool. And it was on the 42nd anniversary of the 77 blackout, eerily enough. And that this was a much more peaceful affair, needless to say, than that one.
Circuits overload? I mean, I don't think I've ever seen an official reason for this.
They're still trying to figure this out. I'm like, okay, you know, all signs pointed to a substation, and when I say substation, I start thinking of the blackout from 2003, where it started in upstate New York, and it just cascaded down, and the whole Isle of Manhattan and everything else in Long Island went completely black, but no official cause given yet.
Interesting. All right, everybody safe, though, and back to a normal. Okay.
Hey, Bill, did I hear you were going to have Gene Failure Is Not an Option Kranz on this weekend?
The main man this week as we count down with the Apollo mission. You better
oh
believe
my
it.
gosh, that is amazing. And you're going to have Buzz, too?
We only hang with the biggies, Matt.
Man, I tell you what, I'm like coming to Cleveland.
Matt Wolf on air on Twitter. Thanks, partner.
Take care.
8:20 all morning. Yeah, Buzz Aldrin later this week. My interview with him from a while back. The NASA Glenn director, Brian Smith, by the way, tomorrow morning at 8:20. All right, Geraldo in Cleveland up next. Triv after 3. The spill.